Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right, for just $20, we'd say something nice about you here. We'd compliment your shoes. We'd maybe give you a high five if we saw you walking down the hallway at school. That's right, for $20, just go to nerdandtie.com, click on the sponsorship area, thingy, clink, whatever, and do the thing. Or you can support our legal fund at gofundme.com/nerdandtie.
On this Fortnite edition of Nerd and Tie, the Vic Mignogna situation only escalates, and we talk a little bit about No Brand Con and Kuroshi Con. All this and actually not a whole heck of a lot else in this edition of Nerd and Tie. I realize, and I apologize already because I said Fortnite. This is not a Fortnite.
It's a monthly podcast.
It's a monthly podcast, and it's also not a free to play game that scams money off 8-year-olds. So Fortnite is not appropriate in either instance.
They've ruined that name. We started this podcast as Fortnightly before Fortnite was ever a thing people knew, and we spell it correctly.
I know, Dan Olson did a really great video, and I kind of just, it's still on my brain.
I just said doo-doo like 47 times.
Okay, you maxed out the levels with
I'm
that
sorry.
Laugh.
It's my natural, it's what I do. Oh my gosh.
Oh, we are recording in a hotel room at a Super 8 in DeKalb, Illinois.
Live from the Super 8 in DeKalb, Illinois, it's Nerd and Tie.
So this is the second episode in a row where we're all in the same room.
It's a rare feeling, but I can dig it.
I know, and that's why we're recording with the basic recorder. We apologize if the audio levels are not up to standard, but you didn't pay anything for this podcast, so...
Nope.
I apologize for my loudness.
You chose this.
But I don't apologize for introducing my dynamic co-host.
That's right, we haven't done that yet.
The inheritor of the Autobot Matrix of Leadership. We've got Traydorn.
Oh, I don't know what to do with this. Oh, no.
Oh, no,
this was a mistake, Optimus Prime. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That's the quote, right?
Yes.
I can't deal with this now.
And the Harbinger of Unicron, it's Genproc.
Yeah.
I think the Fallen said that, actually. I recall that line.
Gen's
yeah.
like the third sweep to the left.
and friend to Quintessons everywhere, I'm Nick Izumi. That
I have a hard time not calling them Quintessons. I know it's wrong, because I know it's Quintessons.
The Quintessons!
At least you're not the writers of Transformers Energon, who took the character Alpha Quintesson and decided to call him Alpha Q.
That's a better name. That's a better name. Quintesson's a stupid name
in the first place. Say it three times fast and I think you'll notice the problem.
Oh, God.
Every episode
Alpha
of this
Q.
children's series features...
Alpha Q, Alpha Q, yeah. Alpha Q, Alpha Q, Alpha Q. You can't ding us. This is our only podcast without an explicit warning on iTunes.
Yeah. Oh, fuck you.
You said Alpha Cube just very quickly there. And I want to be clear, iTunes, because again, we have not marked Nerd and Tie as an explicit podcast, unlike bullshit, BS-free witchcraft. BS-free witchcraft, which is marked as explicit, so inside episodes it can call itself by its name, and or Stormwood and Associates, which is marked as explicit because I figure I'm, well, mostly because of Kel's catchphrase that isn't going to show up for a bunch of episodes.
But also, you as GM... reacting to some of the stupid stuff that we pull off we decide to do.
So I preemptively marked that show as explicit because iTunes requires us to tell it whether or not it's an explicit or not explicit podcast. Didn't used to require us to tell them, but it does now. So this is our only podcast that's not, well, technically On This Day with Trey is not marked as explicit.
Fair.
So Trey from the past does not swear.
I mean,
sure.
There was Nick from the past.
There's a secret. But... there's a secret. All 366 episodes of On This Day with Trey were recorded years ago. Like, literally, like in like 2014.
I believe that. I knew, in fact, you've told me that.
Yeah, but... it just auto reposts the episode because history didn't change.
That's yet. Until Barry Allen gets involved.
Oh, God. So we are so off the rails.
We're
like,
so, we're not even.
Immediately.
I apologize.
This is what happens when you get the three of us, like, in an actual physical room together.
Yeah.
I apologize.
We cannot stay on topic worth a damn.
We haven't even gotten to the topic
right,
yet.
Like,
so,
and it's a big topic.
It is.
It's a, surprisingly, but also not surprisingly, we're going to get to our first big topic. A direct continuation of where we left off last episode.
Oh my God, this is like apparently Vic Mignogna the show.
Yeah.
Nerd and Ty, your one-stop shop for Vic Mignogna news.
The circle of shows.
Mignogna, Vic Mignogna, Vic Mignogna.
That binds us all.
Vic Mignogna, Vic Mignogna, Vic Mignogna, Vic Mignogna.
It's the circle of shows.
I'd still rather listen to this than watch the new Lion King. Anyway, so.
Hey,
so.
You can hear the same voice of Mufasa.
Oh, that's great.
And everything else will be different. But at least when he dies, it'll feel the same.
Sure.
So Vic Mignogna, to give a quick recap of our last episode, Vic Mignogna's name has become poison after years of allegations about his misconduct around both other actors and fans at conventions finally came back to bite him in the butt. Some places are reporting that this is a recent thing. I will stand by that it is not. It has been a well-known occurrence. It just didn't start getting taken seriously until...
So what we had were stories that were passed around with victims not willing to go on the record. And what changed was this year was after the successful release of Dragon Ball Super Broly, which, you know, Mignogna voices the title character. Like, after that, like, that's when... people were finally willing to step up and go on the record. And this includes voice actress Monica Rial. Jamie Marchese come on record. But other people also were willing to talk to the press under anonymity. A number of people talked to IO9. And Funimation canned him. Now, a lot of conventions dropped his appearances. In the last episode, we mostly just focused on the fact that... Kameha Con in Texas, which took place, when we're recording this, it took place a week ago, canceled him, and then after the refund period, re-announced him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the people who didn't want to go to a con with him there were pissed.
Understandably
the,
so.
The Vic's supporters did show up to this con in large numbers, probably because it was their only opportunity to see him at any con. and also, you know, it was publicity, and, but mostly we were talking about how, we knew he'd been talking to a lawyer, mostly because, he had been kind of, egged on to, there's a lawyer, I think, in Minnesota, named Rakita Law, who is not his lawyer, I don't want to claim he's his lawyer, but who was pretty much, like, encouraging Mignogna to, level a lawsuit, against Funimation, Monica Rial and Jamie Marchi. And we thought that our opinion was, and I've seen someone say, well, I guess you were wrong. I said, no. I did not say he would not do it. I said he would be stupid to do it. And guess what? Vic Mignogna is dumber than I thought.
This is, to quote Iron Man in The Avengers, what is your plan? There's no throne here. Like, how...
Yeah.
There's no win scenario in this.
So what we should say is Mignogna has filed $1 million lawsuit against Funimation...
$1 million!
Against Funimation, Monica Rial, Jamie Marchi, and Ronald Toy, who is Monica Rial's fiancé, in Tarrant County, Texas, District Court. in his suit. Mignogna's claiming that the sexual harassment investigation that ended his removal from a bunch of shows and things like that constitutes defamation, interference in business, and civil conspiracy. We have the full filings available on our website, and I'll link that in the show notes for this. But it's pretty much what you'd expect. He's claiming that the comments were defamatory, and if they're not true, then you could actually consider that. I happen to believe the accusers. I believe them, but still, it's like this is a really complex situation. But most of what's happening is that Mignogna just pretty much ended his career, and I'm gonna explain why. When you work as an actor, it's not like, you know, you audition for roles or you have to be hired on for roles. What he's just done is said that, effectively, by suing Funimation, I'm not talking about Monica Rial, I'm not talking about Jamie Marchi, I'm talking about by suing Funimation.
A subsidiary of Sony.
A subsidiary of Sony. I'm sorry, he's taking on Sony.
Yeah, like, I want to point that part out. Sony bought Funimation earlier last year, so... Yeah,
so he's going to be taking on the Sony legal department. By suing, even if he wins this case, like, nothing else matters, but even if he wins this case, he is signaling to every dub house in North America that if you fire this guy for any reason, he's going to sue you. And when you can choose between him and any other actor, when you can make that choice, you're going to choose the guy who you don't worry about suing you.
Also, we're talking about dubbing anime.
Yeah.
Like, while there are going to be people who are going to be hardcore fans of certain actors, case in point, how upset I personally was about the Evangelion cast being replaced... The vast majority of people aren't going to know the difference.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to say it, but it's the truth.
Yeah. It's, and I want to say, like, the anime dubbing industry is not huge. There are not a lot of players. Now, I'm not saying that Mignogna's career at conventions is done. I'm just a cynic with this industry that there are enough assholes out there. I don't care that be explicit. Like, there are enough assholes out there who support him, who would go pay to get his autograph.
Yeah.
Or people who are too naive to understand the situation. I do not doubt that there are enough people willing to dish out money for his autograph right now that he could probably get back on the horse and begin scheduling events again. But even that is going to dry up as fewer and fewer new projects materialize.
Yep.
And so, like...
Fangirls are going to outgrow Free and Ouran Host Club and Full Metal Alchemist, for that matter.
Yeah.
That hurt to say, that last one.
I know, but...
And so, like, it's... The fact... And that's not even talking about the allegations from Rial and the like.
Marky,
Yeah. Am I saying her name wrong?
I'm getting the pronunciation from after I said Marchi, but then, like, Raina went to a panel with her a few years back, and then she said it was Murky, so.
I've been saying her name wrong for many years?
You and how many other people?
I would say I don't think she's going to hold it against you.
I know.
Okay.
Everyone I know says she's, like, one of the sweetest people, so I'm sure she's...
Interestingly, though, I don't think he's filed suit against Rooster Teeth.
I've heard it. What was funny was I did hear some people saying, "Oh, Vic could easily bring Rooster Teeth down. They're a small operation." And I'm in this corner being like, "They just made a show with Michael B. Jordan. They're not a small operation, you guys."
No, not anymore.
They
started small.
They made a show with Michael B. Jordan that also starred Arya Stark and David Tennant. I mean, I'm sorry. That was not a cheap show to make.
No.
Yeah. It's, yeah. But, like, it's interesting that he's not... I think it's because Funimation went on the... Funimation made a statement regarding the sexual assault allegations, which was weird. Not because, like, I, you know, like, that wouldn't be the reason why he'd be fired, but usually companies, it does open up a company to liability what they don't have to. Because usually they don't have to say why they fire someone. So that was an interesting, that was a dumb choice, but on Funimation's part. But, like, I don't know. And here's the thing, though. It's like, suing Monica Rial and Jamie Markey in, like, is not going to look good. Because, first off, any testimony from that court case is going to go on the public record.
Yeah, exactly.
He really has nothing to gain from all this.
He doesn't. He doesn't. Even if he wins money. Like, that's the whole thing. Is, like, even if he wins, he's pretty much permanently damaged his professional reputation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so that's, like, there's no, like, there's no true victory. Like, he could take down some people financially with him, but he's not going to take down Funimation because, again, Funimation is part of Sony. Even if they lose, Sony can afford to lose $1 million. So all he's going to
do They made Amazing Spider-Man 2. They can definitely afford to lose $1 million.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 made money.
Oh, that's true. Still.
Yeah. It's...
Tuts.
Yeah,
I needed to do a movie that I remembered that they did, and the other two Spider-Man movies from recently were really good, so three Spider-Man movies from recently were really good, so, yeah. Like, two were good. One was Venom, but that was still good. Like, no, it's such a bizarre decision, because I really do think this is a case of Z-list cult celebrity status makes him think he's a bigger deal than he actually is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Vic, we'll stop talking about you whenever you want us to. You just have to tell us because clearly, you know, your silence on this to us equals your consent to us talking all of this. And this is our third episode, so clearly you've been okay with this the whole time.
It's fair. I don't know. I really don't know what, beyond Z-list celebrity hubris, what would make him think this is a great plan. Because it's not. It's a really...
He's probably working under the idea of even bad publicity is good publicity. But it's not.
It's really not.
It really is not.
Especially in this case. Like,
you can't go around thinking that.
Here we go. You want a Sony flop?
Oh, no.
All the King's Men from 2006, which had a budget of $55
million. Okay.
And a domestic gross of $7.2
million. Jesus Christ.
And a worldwide gross of $9.5
million. Okay, not great.
So it lost, like, $45.5 million.
Oof. I mean...
There. All the King's Men. Isn't that appropriate, Vic? Do you think so? I mean, let me hear for a second. Do you agree? He agrees. He was silent. So it's silent equals consent.
Yep.
According to Vic. So he consents that is correct. Do you think I'm ever going to stop making these jokes for the rest of the time that Vic Mignogna shows his face in public? I'm going to continue to make these jokes for the entire time that Vic shows his face in public.
I don't know what he thinks he has to gain from this, but he doesn't.
It's the last desperate throws of someone who's done. And the again, this goes back to the fact that he could have made all of this go away. Like, look.
It's true. That's true.
The pragmatist in me. And again,
this is not moral. This is
not moral. This is pragmatic. And again, I am not a fan of Vic Mignogna. I do not like Vic Mignogna. The con that I founded and, you know, just recently helped, you know, run its 18th year, put him on a blacklist almost a decade ago because of behavior that is not illegal and would not be subject for anything that we would consider illegal or necessitate the police, but we witnessed behavior that would have violated our own harassment policies.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to be very clear. I'm not accusing him of committing a crime. I'm not claiming to have knowledge of him committing a crime. I am saying, though, the behavior we witnessed would have violated our own harassment policies, so we put him on a blacklist before ever thinking of inviting him. But, like, he is a white Christian male.
Mm-hmm.
And he, many times, white guys get forgiven in this country. They do.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter how bad the thing they did was. It doesn't matter, because if they just give it a little bit of time, issue a sincere apology, they ride it out, and their career's back on track within 2 years.
I would say Kevin Spacey and Bryan Singer are, like, living proof of this.
Kevin Spacey, has he been recast in anything?
I thought he did, like, a thing recently, and people were all excited because he, like, did an internet video in character from his House of Cards person.
Oh, let me take a look. It's, I know that Louis C.K. has...
Yeah, Louis C.K., he's back and making fun of trans kids now, you know, because that's what you do when you're a piece of crap, I guess.
Yep.
All the news things I'm finding are about the case in Nantucket.
Okay, maybe I spoke too soon. But still, Bryan Singer, Louis C.K., there's plenty of white dudes.
I think Bryan Singer had accusations. Bryan Singer's right now in the doghouse, so I think it'll be another 2 or 3 years before we see him come back. Like, he had his name taken off of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
But... let's face it, the allegations against Bryan Singer go back a decade before anything happened. It just took someone... It took another white male accusing him with Anthony Rapp, who was famous enough to finally take him down. Because, again, rumors about Bryan Singer, and there was another accuser who was not famous...
Mm-hmm.
And in an age when gay people weren't taken as seriously,
mm-hmm.
In the media, and he was seen as an opportunist, but oh look, it was a pattern of behavior. But the fact is that Kevin Spacey rode that out for years, and the fact is that Mel Gibson.
Oh yeah, hey, great example.
Mel Gibson made threats there are recordings of him threatening his ex and saying anti-Semitic slurs, and he managed to rehabilitate his career quite completely.
Mm-hmm.
It's you take a look at any of these guys, and like but what's happened is that Vic Mignogna has tethered himself to this
totally not Gamergate
people. Mm. Wink wink. This troll mob, which, by the way, is taking over the Kick Vic tag. Like, no one anti-Vic Mignogna is really even... like, there are some people still posting that tag, but the vast majority in that tag are Vic supporters trying to silence anyone talking out against Vic Mignogna. And if you even mention Mignogna's name in a tweet, and if you tag anything with Kick Vic, you will find yourself spammed by people demanding for evidence for things you didn't say. Or, you know, like, apparently, just believing someone means that you have to be the one to somehow prove their court case. Which is stupid. Like, it's so... like, you're not even engaging with his supporters, and they will jump onto your status and respond. But, I don't know, it's like Mignogna could have made this go away, but he tied himself to this train, and it is left the station, and, look... this is going to take years to finish. He is going to have ups and downs. Court cases take forever. Trust me, I know.
Uh-huh. But, you know, in some ways I have something to thank these trolls for. Because, like we already said, this is going to kill Vic's career.
Yeah, no, it's going to. Yeah.
And I want to thank all of you trolls for working so hard to kill his career. Because
In 10 years, he's going to be a footnote. Because of this. In 10 years, he's not going to have had any new major roles. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll land something. But the fact is that he's not going to have the career he could have had. I apparently woke up my iPhone. He has chosen a path which will lead to his own obscurity. And if anything, a footnote... On the train of people who were anti-women and anti-progress and anti... oh my god, like, And maybe I'm wrong. It's, you know, if 10 years come back to this, tell me if I'm right or tell me if I'm wrong. I think I'm going to be right. I think this he's done. I think he's done.
Mm-hmm. No, obviously I agree.
Yeah.
Can't wait. It's been 10 whole years and we haven't done a Full Metal Alchemist remake yet. Might be the time.
When did Brotherhood come out? I guess, yeah, it came out while I was in 2008 or 9.
Yeah,
or?
Brotherhood is 10 years old now. It's time for another Full Metal Alchemist remake.
I still haven't this watched one will past be closer, the first two episodes.
This one will be closer to the manga than the other two.
Could we, like... I mean, if I was going to make it a third time, I would make something, like, I figure you go closer to the manga, like Brotherhood, but, like... True, like, but with true character depth, like the first anime.
I could go into that. This will probably be a. I don't want to go into this too much because I kind of want to do a video essay about how stupid the ending of the Fullmetal Alchemist manga makes me feel. Not that it's smarter than me, but that I feel like if you've seen Doctor Who: Curse of the Fatal Death, spoilers for Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, then.
Oh, no, really. Boy, Joanna Lumley's going to show up?
No, do you remember the I bribed the architect scene? They do that with transmutation circles.
So it's Bill and Ted. It's Bill and Ted rules.
I made the ultimate transmutation circle. No, I knew you would make the ultimate transmutation circle, so your shadow will make the ultimate transmutation circle.
Have you seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
I have. It's a lovely film.
That's their entire logic of that film. Yep. Mm. Like, what we'll do is later, we'll go back in time and plant the keys here, and then there are the keys. But it only works because they have to, and then the end fight, well, the bad guy goes, I can do that too. And, like, I'll put the gun here, and it drops his hand, and to which Bill and Ted remember, oh, no, but only one of us can do it afterwards, so we'll put a fake gun there for you. And
It's like that, except it's actually implying that these characters were so smart that they planned ahead to where someone would be in position to the sun to make a shadow. No, really. Anyway. Well,
I could buy Alphonse being that smart, but not Ed.
It's their dad.
Well, that guy's just an idiot.
Anyway.
I'm glad I only watched the first TV series continuity.
Brotherhood has a lot of characters I love. Not the least of which being Lanfan, but...
Yeah, but on the other hand, the original anime is better.
I don't disagree, but I know we're going to get hate mail.
I mean, I've never read the manga, so I have zero investment about whether or not something's true to the manga or not. That's really what it comes down to, is I've never read the manga, I don't give a shit.
I kind of wish we would have made that a topic, because I think that's an interesting discussion of, does something being true to the comic it's based on make it good? Because a lot of times I don't think that's true. Sometimes it's true, but sometimes it's very not true.
We'll do that in May.
Yeah, I like that, because
there's a lot of May episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that, like, I want to put together for that.
That's our May episode, guys. Yeah, we just came up with the topic.
I'll actually speak on an episode for once. Hey,
self-burn. Did you bring your own calamine lotion?
It'll be your turn to do the intros, so you'll have to talk a little bit no matter what. Anyway, so that's the Vic news. Again, we'll put the full filing's on our website right now, embedded on our previous article on this. If I don't get a chance to link that up in the show notes when this episode first goes live, it'll be there, nerdandtie.com. Yeah, so that's
that sure is a thing.
And you know what? Like, there's this one Vic supporter who's been listening to our episodes on YouTube, and then he'll make a bunch of nasty comments. And he deleted his whole comment thread, so no one could see that he posted on my thing like 25 times. But
he just loves you so much.
He loves me so much, but he made a comment saying, "Oh, you're wrong," and I don't think he understood. That's why, like, I'm specifically responding to you when I say, "Well, I expected Vic Mignogna to be smarter than that, and I guess that was my mistake."
Yeah.
So, congratulations. I thought the guy you love so much wasn't a moron, and you proudly are exclaiming that he is as stupid as you think he is. So, Good job.
It's amazing because I've seen Vic supporters saying that it's like, oh, all these people, they said he wouldn't do it. He did it. Yeah, we said he wouldn't do it because we didn't think he was brain dead.
I don't think I said, you know what, Megan, go back and you can check, and maybe I said he wouldn't do it, but I really said, I don't think he'll do it if he's smart.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what I said, but I could be wrong. Maybe I did say that he wouldn't do it, but either way, like, it's, I mostly thought that he wouldn't do it if he was smart. Actually,
I recall saying that he can. He's just, I don't remember what
Well, and said. Actually, I said, I don't think he threatened Kameha Khan. I don't think he did. I think he maybe pointed out a clause in his contract, but I don't think he threatened them. I really don't think he threatened Kameha Khan. I think they looked at a business decision that they could drive a lot of publicity for their con by bringing him back, and that Vic had enough supporters to roll with it. I don't think that a lot of people... I think there's a portion of the audience that is not going to come back to Kameha Khan if Vic's not there. And that if Vic doesn't... Like, if Kameha Khan happens again without Vic Mignogna, it's not going to have the people who didn't like Vic Mignogna. They're not going to come back. They're not going to trust it. So Kameha Khan better bring back Vic Mignogna every year or else they're going to fail now. Because I think it's going to be another 5 years before anyone's willing to trust them again who doesn't want to go to a con with Vic Mignogna.
Agreed.
So it's just, like, I think that they've damaged themselves in the industry, and I think they can recover. I think it's something a con recovers from way easier than an actor, because people don't view cons, obviously, as people, even though they are run by people. And every single decision that happens there was made by a person, but people are more forgiving of events. I can think of events run by pretty atrocious people that people I know and people I like will still show up for a number of reasons. So it's a thing. I think it's enough, Vic.
I think that's enough, Vic. Let's go to something happier, I guess. All right, now I'm gonna go on to some happy news. We've been to a couple of cons. One, of course, was the one that we did our last live con at, so we can talk about that a little bit. Our live show was, of course, at No Brand Con 2019.
I will not be commenting, as I was a staff member for the con that year.
Totally legit.
Totally legit.
Yeah.
It was good.
I had fun. I was.
I heard the events manager was really handsome.
Yes.
I was actually a kind of free agent this year. My wife was working a vendor table, but I was not. So I helped, but I mostly ran around. I met some cool people. I got to give a shout out to our friend of the show and just cool person, Vega, for letting me draw Zaku in her sketchbook. That was heckin' cool. It was fun getting to host a small cosplay contest again. The Bakugo from My Hero Academia cosplayer percentage was through the roof. Pretty cool. I had fun. There were like 6 Bakugos, and 3 of them were fantasy Bakugo.
There were so many.
It was Bakugo City in that cosplay contest. Bakugo! Sorry. That was an in-joke. I should not have done that last bit. Anyway, how was your con, Jen?
It was really good. I did Artist Alley, and even though the con wasn't very big, sales, from what I've heard from a few people, artists and vendors, sales were really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from what I heard from Raina, it was the same at the vendor table that we worked for, so yeah. That was good.
And I got to see a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time, got to hang out with them. Freaking highlights include having some adult drinks and playing board games with one of my besties. Just, like, chill AF, it's a good, chill little con.
It was super chill,
it's,
yeah.
It's, like, like no stress con.
Plus you had like so as nice. Far as I was concerned, you had excellent placement because you were directly behind your table was directly behind one of my best friends' artist tables, so it was super easy to visit you too.
Yep.
Added bonus. So, yeah, no, we had fun.
Yeah.
It was a small chill con, and we had lots of fun.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All you could really ask for.
We also went to another small convention.
Was it chill?
I think it was pretty chill.
Are we talking about a con I can actually talk about again?
We are talking about a con.
Hiroshicon. We were there today, which is why we're sitting in a hotel room in DeKalb, Illinois, recording this episode.
As everyone knows, I love Hiroshicon. It's one of my favorite
things. I love it. I have, of course, had all my comics here, and then we're also promoting Stormwood and Associates.
Mm-hmm.
While we're here, Kyle, the only member of the show who's not here, we miss you, bud.
We miss
even
you,
Kyle. Even though two of these people have never met you.
We interact on Twitter, it counts.
You play a game together, but
uh-huh.
You've never been in meat space in the same place. I had a really, I really like this con. I got to hang out with Corfan, who is a listener of the show. He stopped by my table for like an hour or two.
I saw him, but I didn't get to say hi. I was running errands, and then
He pretty much walked in, stopped at my table, and then
didn't
go anywhere further because we were right near the door. So like, Gen's table was right next to mine, but Nick and his wife and stuff, they were elsewhere in the room. So they were far away while Gen and I were together, so Corfan didn't go further than us. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And there is... I did a bad thing.
You did a bad thing. You played pranks on people.
So, you know how, like, you're vending in a room or an artist alley, and there's some other vendor or artist who, like, keeps playing music? And for a while, it's fine, and you're okay. And then just at some point, they're playing something, and it's just irritating the crap out of you. Mm-hmm. Like some techno song with a heavy bass, and it's driving you nuts. Well, here's the thing. If that person's using an unsecured Bluetooth speaker...
Hypothetically,
a person with multiple devices that have Bluetooth, so one can be scanning for it while the other one is set to connect to it, could say hypothetically open their a pop station that they have on their Pandora for when they're really bored at work and want to like put on music that they won't actually listen to but will have a high BPM or at least peppy lyrics, and maybe they got an Avril Lavigne song to pop up, and maybe connected to that Bluetooth speaker, and maybe kept playing Girlfriend.
Hypothetically,
and every time they'd turn off the speaker or reset the speaker and reconnect, that hypothetically this person would then reconnect their audio and start playing said pop song again. And maybe that other vendor would give up and even let the Avril Lavigne pop song play for its entirety. And maybe Taylor Swift's Shake It Off would come on afterwards. And maybe that's when the person doing this prank realized, oh, hey, I can control the volume from here, and turned up the Taylor Swift song. And maybe that's when they finally, like, after two or three more times of resetting it, turned off said Bluetooth speaker for, like, an hour or so. So the original person who was just kind of annoyed with the thumping techno could, like, live in peace. So what I'm saying is that I totally hijacked that person's Bluetooth speaker and kept playing Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend on it until they pretty much gave up and submitted. The best part is that this vendor didn't figure out that it was intentional.
Yeah.
I leaving a device playing at my table, I did a little walk by their table and heard their conversation where they thought they were just getting interference from somewhere or that it was an accident of someone accidentally mapping their device. It was not an accident, Vendor. It was me. I was annoyed. I had the power to stop you. You had the power to stop me, which you finally did when you turned off your speaker. But I took the reins of destiny and steered them right into that cliff.
Excellent.
Everyone else is welcome.
You had a date with destiny, and she ordered the lobster.
Says, hey, hey. Hey, hey, you. I don't like your crappy music.
No way.
Oh. I think you need some new songs. They turned it on again later, and I started playing Letters to Cleo, and then they turned it off again. Then, when they finally turned it on at the end, I let them play their terrible music because I was less annoyed. And I could have stopped it, but then the room was emptying out at that point, and I would have been more obvious.
Okay, so basically, what we're saying is...
I'm a bad person.
You're an evil techno wizard.
It's just because, okay, so here's the thing. If you're going to play music at your booth, at any booth, no matter what you're doing, use a wired speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Just use a wired speaker because Bluetooth audio devices are almost always completely lacking any security because they're designed for ease of use, that anyone can walk up, connect their phone, and listen to their music mm-hmm. without thinking about it. But what that means is that anybody can walk up, connect their phone, and play their music.
Uh-huh.
And so if you are in a crowded vendor room, and you are, like, playing music, just use the 3.5 millimeter jack on speaker, dude. Just for reals. Also, if you're in a dorm, and you feel like annoying all of your neighbors, just search for Bluetooth devices. Just look for them, man. Like, there are free apps on the iPhone to extend the range.
Don't do this. Like, this is bad
just
advice.
Annoy
bad
the,
advice.
Just
this is
map,
not good advice.
Map every Bluetooth speaker you can find in range of your dorm room and start playing Avril Lavigne. Just do it.
No.
Don't,
just
please
do it.
Don't do it.
Two,
do this. Two
or,
out of three
or
of us
whatever,
don't endorse this.
Whatever music you think will be, you know, pleasant for them to hear. If you want to, like, show them some good music, put on some Cake, you know?
Okay, so while we were caravanning to dinner, I didn't have my radio on just because reasons. And I was following Trey's car, and I could clearly hear Cake from his car.
I had the windows down.
So clearly. Like, oh, short skirt, long jacket.
I was gonna say, I too.
It's a good one.
I too like a girl with a short skirt and a long jacket.
That's what came on my Pandora station after Volcano Girls by Veruca Salt, which is also a good song to blast while driving to.
No, I believe that.
Everyone should listen to my old people music because all of this is officially considered dad rock these days because I'm 38.
Dear God. Anyway,
this is old people music, people.
I also...
Cake, Veruca Salt, Letters to Cleo, Belly,
Hole,
Nirvana.
Going back to the con that we were at.
Oh, yeah.
And not giving people bad advice. I also got to...
I think listening to Veruca Salt is good advice. They're a great band. And, you know, they got back together after they broke up. So it's they're touring.
Let Nick say his thing.
I also got to soft debut a new cosplay. That was nice. I only say soft debut because... One, I still need to fix up some stuff for parts of it. And two, it was Kuroshikan, so my one, pressure was not high, and two, it was cold. And I decided to wear some extra layers, because it was cold.
Yet you still, surprisingly, got fans.
Yeah, I ran into one of my fans. That was amazing. Like, My cosplay page, my alter ego, has fans, and one of them was at the con. I had never met him before. That was awesome. So yeah, that was a highlight of today.
Good.
And also, we established that the official car of non-binary people is the hatchback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's official. It's,
that's... But, yeah. Can't change the rules there, you
can't
guys.
Can't change it. If you're non-binary and you don't have a hatchback, your next car should be a hatchback.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We don't make the rules. We just enforce them.
We just... Well, and it should be in a neutral color. Think white, silver, dark gray, black, but just like anything in there. Don't go flashy. Like, you know, like red, don't do it. Blue, maybe. Green, definitely out. Those are colors for us, for people on the binary of genders.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we don't. That's not how we roll.
That's not how we roll. We are non-binary and neutral colors. So we're neutral on gender. We're neutral on colors.
Yeah.
For your hatchback. I mean, I guess, like, if it's the only, like, Kia Soul left on the lot and it's red, I guess you can have it. And
I guess.
We will make a case-by-case basis because...
Big I guess.
I do want to say that 2020 Kia Soul in red looks beautiful. They'll claim it's a crossover, but as a non-binary person, I can establish it is a hatchback. It's just marketing speak. It's not a crossover. It's only 3 inches taller than a Nissan Versa. It's not a crossover.
I can agree with that.
So,
it sure crosses over the lines of, I don't know.
No, it's the term crossover.
I was attempting to make a joke and then it didn't. So it made a non-joke. No, it was very
crossovers. Crossovers are specifically for people at least in their 30s. Who live in the suburbs and maybe think about camping twice a year, but don't. if you're over 50, you own a canoe.
That's...
If you have a crossover and you're over 50, you own a canoe. It's a requirement. It just comes with it now. It just comes with it.
That's... I believe that. I don't know. So, do we even have much else to say? Because we don't have...
We don't have any.
We don't have a mailbag.
No one loves us.
Archimize.
I'll double check the mailbag. Give me a second.
No seconds.
I'm gonna look.
Only first.
Let me look.
No.
This show gets so weird when we're in person.
Eyeballs allowed.
You know, like, there are times when we sound like professionals.
Like, what are those? I've never been a part of that. Professionals, what does that even mean?
I don't know. That's a contact about the regeneration. Who's that? That's from last episode.
You're from last episode.
So is your mom. So we got this mailbag that is mostly in Russian.
Oh.
Yay!
From Redmaster. But then there's an English part that says, they say the crypto... currency Sibcoin can become a millionaire.
Oh boy.
Do you think it makes sense to buy this cryptocurrency? With Bitcoin, I already missed my chance. Well, I think it's entirely possible for the cryptocurrency Sibcoin to become sentient and then make proper investments itself to become a millionaire. I don't think if you're asking if you can become a millionaire by investing in Sibcoin, I'm going to say no. I'm going to 1000% say it is impossible to become a millionaire investing in Sibcoin unless you are looking to have a million Sibcoins. And I don't know if the blockchain allows it. I don't know enough about that cryptocurrency or if it's even real or just spam. But if Sibcoin can become sentient and makes proper stock market investments itself, it can become a millionaire. But if your cryptocurrency becomes sentient, we have larger problems.
Okay.
And the pending war is coming.
But spam as a cryptocurrency. Hear me out.
Like spam, like the food product?
Like the meat product.
That would just be currency. It's a physical object. If we traded spam, like physical spam...
What we would do, we would take the meat product out of the can, schlick it out, because that's the noise it makes.
Right. Correct. Oh, gross.
And the plop at the end. Delightful. And we would slice it and we would stamp little spam coins. Duh. They'd be spoins.
All right, so... something is happening. What that is, we'll leave that up to you, the listener, to figure out.
Okay.
I'm trying to get something open.
It's your murder mystery question.
I am literally just desperately trying to open up something. I'm opening up, because we have to do the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Oh, that's right, that's a thing.
All right, so the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is the part of the show where I read from a book. And the challenge to you, the listener, is to guess what book I am reading from.
I love how, like, perfectly intoned you did that.
It's almost like I say things the same way every single time. Oof, all right, so let me pull. I have to do the, so if you guess correctly, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. One, we list your name on our website. I need to add a name to the website, but whatever. Two, we read your name aloud on every episode of the show. Three, there is no three, and you can't guess what I'm going to say here because I say a different thing most of the time. So the reward for three is that I'll say something that isn't what you necessarily expect right here on the show, but it's nothing to do with anything. The current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkhamite, Zero, Rin Incenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slitheridi, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings, Van Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Soros, Paper Godzilla, Kavzi, The Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shuzuo, Sakura Sunset, Joel Kreisman, and Patrick Delahanty. Patrick, I'm sorry your name's not on the website yet, but I know you're in the Hall of Awesome, and it'll be in this episode. I'll probably put it up before I post this episode, so maybe this apology won't make sense, but who cares? So, here is the line from the book. It will deploy on impact and will obstruct your view after it deploys. If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com, click on the contact form, and tell us. Or if you have anything else you'd like to say, hopes, dreams, thoughts, cures for rickets, anything, just go to nerdandtie.com/contact and tell us. Or you can call us and we might play your voicemail on the show at area code 414-375-0480 and leave a message on our voicemail and we might play it here. Like a person or something.
That's all I got.
What?
You should.
From all of us, actually together,
oh my
thank
God.
You for joining us again for a Nerd and Tie.
Say your name.
I'm Nick Izumi.
I'm Trey Dorn.
I'm Kim Brock. I saw it far away because I'm lying down on the bed because my back hurts. Woo!
And remember, you can always subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, anywhere where greater podcasts are distributado. Or you can financially support the show. I have a Patreon at patreon.com/TRAEGORN. Nick has a Patreon at patreon.com/NickIzumi. And again, just search for Ocelot Dude Designs and buy something.
Just Google it.
Buy a lot of stuff.
And remember, you can follow us on Twitter at NerdandTie, at Facebook/NerdandTie, on Tumblr, nerdandtie.tumblr.com. In your mind, just think really hard about the words Nerd and Tie, and images of us will slowly drift into your consciousness. Remember to support
I'm really
our,
sorry about
remember
that.
Remember to support. We need your help with our legal fund at GoFundMe.com/NerdandTie. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now, whatever you're dreaming of right now, whatever you're thinking of, just think about how much better it would be if Nick was just standing right, like, 3 inches to your left, just smiling and waving like a crazy person. You would
do it! Just do it!
Just imagine how great that would be, and then imagine how frightening it would be if Gen and I were standing right behind you, right now. Our breath hot on your neck. Anyways, have a good night. And, Nick, say your catchphrase.
Keep on spocking in the free world.
I can't get up.